This morning, the title of this message is called Arrows in the Hands of the Archer. And it is a Father's Day message. You know, as you, I try to bring messages along the line sometimes as far as different themes, Father's Day, Mother's Day, you know, sometimes 4th of July and other things. And I want to make sure that these messages aren't just directed for one group of people or individuals. And I believe this morning, I hope that it'll challenge dads. This is going to be a challenge, dads. And I hope this message will challenge you and at the same time encourage you as you serve the Lord. As you'll see, this will really cover many aspects of being a dad. And you may find yourself in one of these areas. We'll see here in a minute. But also, I think this passage deals with many biblical principles. So if you're here this morning and you're not a dad, which obviously there are many that are not dads here this morning, I hope and pray you'll find some biblical principles, whether you're a parent, you may be a mom here this morning, or whether you have no children at all. There may be some biblical principles in here that you can take and you can learn from and you can apply to your life. I also want to make this, or mention this right up front. I do know that there are occasions where children do not have a dad. Sometimes it's due to the Lord calling their dad home. Sometimes it's due to neglect. That does happen. You know, as we go through this message, I want to encourage you that God understands your situation. He does. Don't think that God has just lumped everyone into one group. He understands your situation, and He will bless you. This message, though, is directly at dads. It is. And if you're a dad here this morning, I ask you to open up your heart. Of course, open up your eyes to the Lord's Word, but be sensitive to the Spirit as we look at this passage. Psalm 127, verse 3. It says there, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Verse 4, "As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Today we're going to talk about a respected and greatly feared warrior in biblical times, and that was the archer. We're going to talk about the archer. Let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. I thank You for allowing us to be here. And as we look at this passage and we examine this example or this illustration that You were given here, I pray that You'll encourage our hearts and that You'll challenge us. I pray for our dads that are in attendance. I pray today this message will challenge them as they lead their children after You, or if their children are away from home, as they pray for them and encourage them as they live their lives. I also pray that You'll open up all of our hearts here this morning to be to the understanding of Your Word and to be willing to follow any direction that You may have for us. We ask that You bless us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning from this passage. And I want to begin. Verse 3 says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I want to make this statement right up front. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, some don't see it that way, but I believe the Bible makes that very clear. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, are they perfect all the time? No. Yes, they provide headaches and heartaches and everything else that comes with that. But they are a blessing from the Lord. We should never take them for granted, and really, we should be grateful for them. This morning, I want to focus on the comparison that we're given. You see, the Bible gives us a comparison. It compares a father or a dad, really, to an archer, to a man of war, a man of battle, to a man who understood his responsibilities and his duties and performed them. This morning, I'm going to give you three thoughts. We're just going to be real simple. This morning, we're talking about the archer, the arrows, and the aim. The archer, the arrows, and the aim. Let's look at the archer for a minute. Archers were feared and respected. One historian put them this way. They were modern, our modern day snipers were archers, basically. They were the feared people of the military. The bows that they carried around were basically made of glued layers of animal hide and wood pulled together or glued together. And most of those bows during the biblical times could pull upward of 100 pounds. That means, for those that are not interested in those things normally, that means arrows were able to fly at a great distance and usually could pierce even the strongest armor. They were powerful is what they were. You'll find in the scriptures that they're always mentioned or often mentioned in a good light as far as the army. And you'll find through history, even up until the time of the Roman Empire, that the archers were considered to be almost like special forces. I mean, archers could change battles or wars just by where they were positioned or just by how they acted in a battle. You know, when you think about archers, they were men, of special responsibility, and they were looked upon as men that were feared and respected. You know, I think of dads today. That's how we should look upon dads. And dads, that's how we should take our responsibility seriously. You know, I believe the devil understands that. I really do. He may understand that better than anybody else. I believe he understands that if he can get the dad out of the house, if he can remove the dad from the picture, not that everything else is going to fall, but it makes it a lot easier for troubles to come in. Makes it a lot easier for families to fall apart without the dad there and without a leader. So if he can get him out, he doesn't have to get him in sin. If he can get him chasing something else and just get him out of the house and get him away from his family and get him to neglect his spiritual responsibilities and his leadership responsibilities, that's a huge step in hurting that family. You see, men, if you're a dad here this morning, your responsibility is great. Your leadership responsibility is great. And I tell you, I think it takes a strong man. I really believe it takes a strong man to raise godly children in a world of sin. It's not a weak job. It's not something that no big deal, it'll just happen. It takes a strong man to raise a godly child in a sinful society. It really does. You know, it takes strength. To begin with, it takes strength to live correctly. You know, dads, if you're going to lead your family, you have to provide the example for them to follow. That's what leadership is. It's providing an example so others can follow after it, especially your children, so they can see that example and they can mimic it and they can learn from that example. You know, dads, you cannot be weak when it comes to sin. If you're going to raise men and women that love the Lord, you yourself have to separate from the world and love the Lord and follow after God. Some will say, well, you know, maybe I can do this. Well, you can try it, but there's a good chance your children are going to follow that example. And there's a chance they're going to go, completely the other way with it. It's best to follow the Lord. You know, dads, you must be strong. You have to lead the way. And it's possible with God. It really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says here. Here's where it begins with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If a dad is going to lead his children after God, a dad himself must have a heart after God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, once we're saved, the Bible makes it very clear that we are new creatures in Christ. We've been changed. And we haven't been changed because of our abilities or our strength, but because of God and because of Jesus Christ. And it says there that we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what those old things are? That's the old life. Maybe the old sins that you were once part of or you once enjoyed. Maybe the old places you used to go and haunt and you used to go and hang out. Those have to be set aside because you have a new life now, a life with God. And I believe when someone is saved, there is going to be a change. There's going to be a desire after God, a hunger for God's Word, and a desire to serve the Lord. That's where it begins, Dad. You must make sure you are saved, that your life has been changed. So that way you can lead your family after God. And then here's the second one. You have to have a life with Christ yourself. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. In verse 1 it says, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And notice what he says in verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Now that's not just for dads, that's for everybody. Without God, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. We have no power in and of ourselves to either save ourselves or to produce good works unto God. We have to abide in Christ. Now that word abide refers to where you stay, where you remain, where you live, basically. Now spiritually, we need to abide with Christ. We need to live unto Him and seek after Him. Seek after Him in His Word and also in prayer. You know, dads, to be strong in the Lord, you have to walk with the Lord and seek after the Lord. So I challenge you this morning to make that commitment if you haven't already. I hope and pray you've already made that commitment to walk with God and to seek after Him, abide with Him. If not, make that commitment right now that you're going to live for the Lord. Well, you know what? It takes more than strength to shoot a bow or to shoot an arrow from a bow. I remember the first time that I tried to shoot an arrow from a bow. You know, I didn't grow up in a hunting family. We just didn't hunt. My dad didn't, and so we didn't either. Now, I know some shooting bow and arrows and guns from a young age, but that wasn't us. So I didn't know much about it. But I had a good friend who did a lot of hunting, and he actually hunted all the time. I think the best way to describe him is if it could shoot, he had it. And if it moved, he could hunt after it. That's just how his family was. Well, I came back from college one summer. Went up, they had some property, went up there with him. And him and he had some, his dad was up there and some uncles. And they were shooting, they were doing some target practice. Well, they were shooting their bow and arrows up there. And I had never shot any. I got up there and I was watching him for a few minutes. Now, I remember I was in college. I knew everything and I could do anything. And so we're sitting there and I remember my friend said, "You want to try it?" "Yeah, I'll try it. It's no big deal. It looked easy to me." You know, I grabbed that bow and I pulled that thing back. You know, my arms start shaking all over the place. And I hurried up. I didn't want anyone to see it. Now, they were all watching, of course. And I heard him shaking all over. And I let that thing go. And I think it went end over end more than anything else. And they all had a good kick out of it. They were laughing at it. They're probably still telling it around, you know, camp stories. And I know I look like a fool. But I realized then that there was skill involved in that. It wasn't just go up there and do it. It's no big deal. There's skill involved in archery. Not only do you have to have the strength to pull that back, but you have to have your strength under control when you get it back. And then you have to be able to line up, aim it, and get it off. There's a lot involved in shooting an arrow. You see, you think about the skill of an archer. Those men, from my understanding, the ancient archers would practice nonstop. You think about it. That was their responsibility. That was their role in the army, was to be archers. And they would practice nonstop. No different than modern athletes. You know, some modern athletes do that in their profession. You know, there's some golfers, even if they're not playing, and they might not even be professional. Some of you may be like this. You're out there on that range practicing. You know, there's some baseball players that will spend hours in the batting cages hitting and hitting and hitting. Same thing over and over and over and over and over, trying to own their skills so they can become better at it. That's what archers did as well. You know, this morning, here's the example we can take from this, dads. To lead children after God does require some skill. And here's the skill. First one is knowledge of God's Word. If you're going to lead your children after God, you need to know what God has said. You need to know what God expects of you. You need to know what God expects of your family, of your children, if you're going to lead them after God. I encourage you, dads, to be students of the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Listen to the preaching and teaching. Examine what has been taught. Go home and read it and study it for yourself. If you have children in your house, do a Bible study with them. Read the Bible with them. You see, become skilled in God's Word. Not so you can show off and say, "Well, I know this, I know that." So you can know what God expects of you and you can lead your family. You know, I want to encourage you to know the Bible. And secondly, how about prayer? You know, if we're not careful, we can neglect prayer. I'll be the first one to say, prayer for me. I know it shouldn't be this way, but prayer is easy to neglect when you have a busy day. It's easy to, when it comes prayer time, just to hurry up and get that prayer through so you can hurry up and go do what you need. At least me. I know all of you. It's not like that with any of you. But for me, it's easy to neglect prayer. You know, we can't neglect that if we're going to have a relationship with God. We have to seek God out. We have to take our cares and concerns to Him. We have to seek His direction. We have to develop a relationship with God, dads, if we're going to lead our children. So I encourage you. I encourage you and challenge you to develop your skills. You know, D.L. Moody was an evangelist, great preacher. Here's what he said about prayer. He said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher." He said, "Jesus Christ never taught His disciples how to preach, but He taught them how to pray." You know, we should be, not only dads, moms, even if you don't have children, you should be seeking God in prayer. Talk to the Lord. Get to know the Lord. Take your problems to Him. You know, the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. You know, I think prayer is one of those powers that we have. Now, it's not of us, it's of God, of course, that we neglect. I imagine when we get to heaven, the Lord may say, "You know, you just never talked to me. I was ready and willing to help you out. You just never asked." Let's take our cares and concerns to the Lord. You know, the archer was respected in ancient history because of their strength and because of their skill in battle. Dad, let's be known today for our strength and our skill in raising our children, our strength in God's word, our strength in God, our skill in not only the word, but also in prayer. See, that's the archer. Now let's look at the arrow. Let's think about the arrow for a few minutes. You see, without an arrow, there is no archer. I remember growing up, we'd go play sports across the, we lived across the street from a park. And we were always hoping someone would remember a ball. Without a basketball, there's no game. Without a baseball, there's no baseball game. Without an arrow, there is no archer. The arrow was important. Now, the most common form of an arrow during that time was basically a shaft made of wood. Whether it was taken from a branch or taken out of a stick that was sitting around, it was a shaft that was formed and basically had an arrowhead at the front, and they had what was called fletchings at the back. You know, growing up, I called them feathers, but I know that's wrong now. Fletchings at the back is what they were. And that was your basic arrow. Now, arrows were normally carried in a container known as a quiver. Notice in Psalm 127, it refers to it says here in verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, talking about children. You know, when you think about a quiver, that's where the arrows were carried. And an archer would carry them, or, you know, sling them around his shoulder. Sometimes they'd have them on a belt, but they would have them nearby and they were ready. You know, when you think about that comparison with children. You know, I think of families, and you see a family going to a store when they have young children. And they're there protecting their children, taking care of them. That's what it's like. That's the example we're given here. You know, children are not only given for you to raise and to teach, but to protect. Protect physically, but also spiritually in this world. Now, the archer was limited in his resources. You know, archers, once their arrows were gone, so was their advantage. And once their arrows were expended, once their arrows were done, they were a normal soldier. And they either retreated or they got in the battle as a swordsman. But their arrows were done. You know, each arrow was extremely important to the archer. Each arrow. This morning, if you have more than one child, each one should be important to you. Not just one or two, but every child that God has blessed you with should be important to you. Each arrow was important to the archer. Now, where'd they get these arrows? They didn't have a Bass Pro or a Cabela's, or a local outdoor shop to go to. They were handmade. These archers would take the time to get they'd go find the branches and the sticks, and then they would begin to carve these arrows out, and the shafts would come too. And then they would get them straight, so that way they would fly straight. They didn't want them to go all over the place. They wanted them to go where they wanted them to, or where they were aimed at. And then they had the arrowheads. Now some of these arrowheads were basically just sharpened points at the end of the shaft. Now, others, we have found, of course, have taken stones or rocks and shaped them and put them on as an arrowhead. They even did that in biblical times. And so they would take and they would apply this arrowhead, and then on the back they would have what was called the fletching, and that was usually feathers from a bird is what that would do. What I wanted to point out real quick is it took time to make these. These men, they would spend hours on their arrows, getting them ready. Getting them so they could fly straight. They didn't want to get out there and have an arrow that would just go sideways. They wanted to, you know, they were used in battle. It was important for them to have an arrow that was they could count on. And so they would take the time to prepare these and make them. Now you think about sticks. Sticks by nature are not arrows. They're not. Have you ever picked up a stick? And even the straightest ones have notches in them sometimes. They have little rough edges. They need to be sanded down if you're going to make an arrow out of them. Even they're just not arrows naturally. They have to be cut and they have to be formed and they have to be prepared, and that takes time. You know, with much care and work, they become smooth, they become straight, and they can become an arrow. It was precise work, which required time and patience. There's that word time again. We keep running across that word, time. You realize, dads, to raise your children, it takes time. It takes time to be with them and to teach them. You know, be careful. I'm going to give you a warning, especially for some of you dads that have children still at home. Be careful of believing that quality time is better than quantity. In many cases, quality is better than quantity. That can be correct. I believe that quantity is better than quality when it comes to time with your children. And here's why I believe it. Being around your dad on a regular basis is better than just seeing them occasionally. Even if that occasional time is just a big, fun time, it's better to be around them on a regular basis and to be taught and to see how they live. You know, John Adams, one of the founding fathers of this country, Also, the second president of the United States had three boys, John Quincy, Charles, and Thomas. Now, John Adams traveled in Europe extensively during the Revolutionary War and even afterwards immediately as an ambassador. He traveled extensively and he lived over there for many years. Well, he couldn't take his entire family. And he chose to do this and he took his oldest son with him, John Quincy. And John Quincy basically was raised by his dad or around his dad and was with him for all those years. You know what's interesting is that John Quincy excelled at everything he did. Eventually, he became the sixth president of the United States. What about Charles and Thomas? Now, this is a sad testament, but both of them struggled in everything they did to the point where they lived wayward, I guess you could say just wicked lives is what happened. John Adams, in a letter to his son, John Quincy, years later, wrote this. He said, "Children must not be wholly forgotten in the midst of public duties." I imagine he recognized later in life that the two youngest sons who he was never around or hardly ever around, didn't raise, didn't help out, struggled later in life. Now, I'm not going to say that's always the case. I'm not saying this morning, I don't want you to think that if you don't have a dad, that that's always the case. Like I said, God does understand. But not having a dad around, or dads, if you neglect your responsibility, God also sees that as well. And so this morning, I want to challenge you dads to take that seriously. Don't allow your career to take the place of your family. You know, many dads make that mistake. They're not living in sin. They're not doing anything that we would consider to be immoral or bad. But you know what? They just don't take the time to be around their children and to raise their children. Take the time to raise your children. You know, children are similar to those rough branches that our arrows are made out of. And that's because they're sinners by nature. Even those cute little toddlers back there, those little infants in the nursery, are sinners by nature. Now, many people don't want to hear that today, but that's true. They're sinners by nature. I'm going to give you the Minnesota Crime Commission several years ago came up with this conclusion. I'm going to read it to you. I think it's good. They said, every baby starts life as a little savage. Starts life as a little savage. Now listen to this. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, or a rapist. That was the Minnesota Crime Commission several years came to that conclusion. I think they hit the nail on the head with that. That's the sinful nature. We see that at a young age, selfishness, stealing, everything. You don't have to teach children how to do that. You have to teach them how to share. You have to teach them how to be nice. You have to teach them all those things that you want them to do. Because everything else comes naturally. That's the sinful nature. You see, this morning, we are born with a sinful nature. And parents, dads, need to understand that. We need to train our children after God. You know, Proverbs 22:6, I guess it's a good time to read this passage here, Proverbs 22. And it's got a good promise. It says there, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. But if you're going to call upon that promise, you got to act upon that first part. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That means we need to teach them about God and about God's saving grace. You know, understand that our children are sinners by nature and that they need a Savior just like we do. And pray for them and show them their need and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart and that they'll trust Christ as their Savior. You see, that's as dads, we need to teach them about a God, about the loving God and the Savior that He sent. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need to teach our children that. This morning, I hope and pray everyone here is saved. If you're not, that's what the Bible teaches, that you can be saved by trusting in Christ. Also, we need to teach them to live for God afterwards. We need to teach them with words, of course, also by our actions, and then teach them to trust in God. You know, pray with your children. Teach your children how to live by faith. Show them how to live by faith. Show them what a life of prayer is. And teach your children that. You know, if you don't, someone else will. And they may not teach them after the Bible. They may teach them after their own thoughts and their own ideas. So it's very important. I was reading of a story of a young man in high school. He went to his guidance counselor. Went and his counselor met him. You know, they all get assigned a counselor. I don't know if they still do. I know when I was in public school, we did. Got assigned a counselor at the beginning. And anyway, he went to his counselor and met with him. And the counselor looked and said, "Now, if you have any problems, feel free to come to me." And the boy replied, and he wasn't being mean. He just said, "Sir, if I have any problems, I'll just talk to my dad." That's good. He wasn't being mean or disrespectful. He had a dad at home that he could talk to. He had a dad at home that he loved. He had a dad at home he knew cared about him and would be there to answer the questions. Now this morning, if you're a dad, be that type of dad. Even as your children grow older and they go away from home, be there for them to talk with them, encourage them if they need be, and just to help them out if they need some advice maybe, or if they need some questions answered. You know, you think about arrows. You know, an ill-prepared arrow, an arrow that isn't sharpened or straightened or prepared, it's going to fly off course and miss the target. It will. It may fall short. It may overshoot. It may go right. It may go left. You know what it's going to do? It's going to fail to do what it was intended to do. That's what's going to happen. You know, this morning, if children are not trained after the Lord, the result will probably be the same. Now, I'm not saying it's always going to be the same, but it will often be the same. Dad, your children are what you make of them. They will someday, you know, the Bible here talks about them being your defense. They will someday be your testimony. You know, when you're home in heaven, your children are still here. They'll be your testimony. They'll be what you left behind. So raise them after God. Here's my final thought. We'll talk about the aim. This morning, I said, we're not really doing an expository message like we usually do. We're just giving you three thoughts concerning the comparison of an archer and a dad. Here's the aim. You know, arrows were made for shooting. Now, that may seem simple, but that's the truth. They didn't make them to hang them upon the wall so they can look at and admire. They made those arrows so they could use them. And they can let them go. And they had to be, first off, they were released at the correct target. You know, arrows go the way that they're aimed. That's just, they always go the way they're aimed. If an archer will aim over here and shoot over there, the arrow's going to go over there. Now, if there's a curve in it, it may go one way or direction, but it's going to go the way that they're aimed. That's why there's so much attention. You know, archery is an Olympic sport. And I tell you what, it's a fine art. The attention that they give to how they stand, how they grip their bow, and all the details is amazing. You see, they understand that a misaimed arrow, even by a fraction, can send that thing off in the wrong direction or get it to go high or low. You see, an arrow has to be aimed at the target. Children also must be directed in the correct direction. First, they must be let go. Fathers, someday you're going to let your children go. Some of you may already be there. You may have already let your children go. Now, I don't say into the world to live in the world. I'm saying into the world to live for God, Lord willing, and to serve the Lord. But they have to be let go. You know, if you're here this morning, you got young children, I want to remind you that you're raising young men and women. Eventually, they're going to be adults. And we will have to keep that in mind. We want to raise them so they can live for the Lord and make proper decisions. Now, if children are raised after the world, don't be surprised when they live like it. You know, eventually children are going to be consistent with the way they were raised. That's just what happens. If we don't aim them after God, if we don't say, here's the Bible, if we don't say you need to trust in God and teach them about the ways of the Lord, then we shouldn't be surprised if they choose to go a different direction. Now, not that they will. They might follow the Lord. But you know what? We shouldn't be surprised if they choose to go a different direction if we don't point them to God. As parents, as dads, that's our responsibility. Raise them and get them going in the right direction and point them at the target, so to speak, so they'll live for God. You know, just pay attention to what your children do. I think the best thing about being a dad is just being there for them. Listen to them. Talk to them. Find out what's going on in their life. Point them in the right direction. Raise them in the Bible and after the Lord. You know, once the arrow is gone, now this may be where some of you are this morning. Once the arrow is gone, the archer has no more control. It's done. It's too late to shape the arrow. You can't go back and reshape it. It's too late to sharpen the arrow. If you didn't sharpen it, it's too late. The arrow is already gone. It's too late to aim the arrow in the correct direction. Once the archer lets go of that arrow, it's done. The arrow is on its way. And once that arrow takes off, It is susceptible to many obstacles. I'll just give you a few. How about the wind? You know, wind can pick up. That arrow just right off course. How about unseen objects like a branch or a twig? You know, most archers today, if they're hunting, will try to get a clear shot. Because they understand, even a small twig can change the direction, mess the shot up. Unseen objects can come in and cause a hindrance to the flight. How about unexpected situations? What if the target moves? Now, those stationary targets, maybe not, but those that are hunting, the target moves, they didn't expect that. Or how about something hinders its flight? Something comes in, maybe a different object hits the arrow. You see, once the arrow is let go, the archer's done. I played golf with some of you, and I don't want to give this away. I guess I've seen a lot of golfers. Once they hit the ball, I guess you call it talking to the ball. Go left, go right, no, a little farther, no. Archers do that too, from my understanding. Now, I don't know. I don't know if it's praying. Maybe it is praying for some of you, but it's that hope. You realize it's out of your control, but you're hoping it stays where you hit it or where it's going. You know, you think about this. When we let our children go, it really is similar. It is. There are many sins that may cause havoc in their lives. There are. This world is filled with sin that can get them into trouble. Also, there are a multitude of worldly attractions that are not necessarily bad, but they can hinder their life for God. There are so many attractions that can just grab all of their attention and all of their time to the point where they just don't have time to serve God. There are also numerous false teachings in this world today that can ensnare them and pull them down. You see, any one of these can take our children off course once they go into this world, once they leave the home. Any one of these can pull them away from God or from seeking the Lord's ways. Now, the archer has to wait and watch. That's it. He can do nothing else. Now, the dad, this morning, we have something else. We have God. We have to watch and wait, but we can also pray. And this morning, I want to challenge you dads to pray for your children. If they're out of the home, pray for them. You may not be able to help them with their decisions. They may not seek your advice at times. But you can pray for them. See, they can't stop you from doing that. You can seek the Lord for them and pray that God will bless them and guide them, direct them, give them the wisdom, knowledge, impress their hearts so they'll follow after Him and serve Him. You see, we can encourage them by praying for them and trusting in the Lord. You see, that's what we need to do as dads, even before they leave the house, but afterwards, we have to pray for them. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, this morning in closing, I want to give you a few questions and we're going to wrap this up. And this will hopefully give us a good conclusion to this. You know, when you think of an ancient archer pulling back a bow and an arrow and letting it go, if that arrow was shot weakly, what I mean weakly, like if it was just had no power behind it, went a few yards and just went in the dirt, who was at fault? Not the arrow. The archer. If an archer pulled back his arrow and as soon as he let it go, that arrow just off to the left. I mean, it just gone, just curved and went to the left. Because it wasn't straight, who's at fault? The archer. If an archer pulled back his arrow and accidentally shot at the wrong target, shot at this one instead of that, who's at fault? It's the archer, not the arrow. Now, yes, children will be held accountable. I'm not saying that children are not going to be held accountable for their actions. As they grow, yes, they will be held accountable. But dads, I'm going to tell you this. I really believe in my heart you're also going to be held accountable for the way you raise your children. You're going to be held accountable. If you yourself, whether you seek after God and live for the Lord, you're going to be held accountable whether you prepared them or not. You're going to be held accountable if you aimed them correctly and directed them to the Lord or if you just neglected them. This morning, I want to challenge you dads to take it serious. And I believe you are. That's why you're here this morning. You are taking it serious. But really, take your raising your children seriously. And you may have found yourself at a different location. You know, there may be some here that their children are still at home. And you're still shaping them and raising them. And take that seriously. And there may be someone here who your children are away. You've already let them go. Pray for them. And pray the Lord will bless them. You know, being a dad, I think, it's a blessing. And it's a great responsibility. I'm thankful for my dad. Here this morning, be thankful for your dad. If nothing else, for giving you life. Bringing you into this world so you can have a life and you can live for God. And if you are a dad here this morning, make the determination to live for God and to raise your children after God. We're going to have a word of prayer and a time of invitation. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us. I thank you for this passage and the comparison we have of the archer. I pray this morning, Lord, we'll take this seriously as dads. And just each one of us will find biblical principles in here that we can apply. Please bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have just a time of prayer, an invitation. As the piano begins to play, if God has worked in your heart here this morning, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer. Perhaps there's one here. Maybe you're a dad. And maybe this message has challenged you in one area or another. Take it to the Lord. Maybe there's an area you just need to make some commitments to the Lord with. I encourage you to do that now. Maybe you want to pray for your children. You know, there's an opportunity now to pray for your children. Maybe God has just placed them upon your heart this morning and you want to pray for them. If that's the case, do that right now. You can come down here and pray, or you can pray.